Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Dan Celia, who is a nationally syndicated radio host and a financial expert. And he says that Christians should honor God in spending, saving, and investing. So in this portion, we're going to talk about how to handle our money from a Christian perspective. Dan, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to be here, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay, good. Well, a new year gives us a new opportunity to reflect, to evaluate, maybe even try and develop new habits. When it comes to Christians and their spending habits, what's your first overall comment, and then what are your comments about new years and new resolutions?
Well, certainly, Jerry, when we talk about spending, we want to be very careful and consistent that this may be a good year, as every year is, to commit our spending to things that we need, number one, not necessarily things that we want. Make sure that we have our needs taken care of. Understand that the money that we are spending is the Lord's. Remember, you know, some people have said to me, Jerry, over the years, well, you know what? I tithe faithfully. And so the other 90% I kind of, you know, do different things with. You don't own the other 90%. I believe that God has entrusted you to be a good steward of all that you've been blessed with. So this would be a year that we think very carefully about that and gain an understanding of that. And so then beyond our spending, we want to think about, are we investing? Do we have a 401k? Do we have an IRA? Do we have a savings account, investing account, and all those kinds of things? And one of the ways that I'd love to see people really start thinking through is this idea of being biblically responsible. In other words, investing in things that aren't going to be displeasing to God. And, you know, we're often amazed because most people don't realize that we may be in a certain mutual fund or we may be in a certain investment that that company is supporting abortion or pornography or gambling, some of the very things that have hurt the family, that have eroded the moral fiber of the country. And here, though we are against these things, we know God is against these things, we're supporting these things with our money. And I've been a biblically responsible investment advocate for about 28 years or so. And I believe it's something very, very important that we've got to, what we try to do at our ministry is raise awareness of that and encourage people to invest wisely.
Well, how common is it that there would be mutual funds that would, say, give money to Planned Parenthood? How common is that?
Yeah, so it's very common. It is. So here's the thing, and I guess a mutual fund, you take ownership of the stocks that are inside that mutual fund. So it's not necessarily even the mutual fund company in and of itself. It's the investments that you are in. So the mutual fund company may have an investment that is including companies that are either profiting from abortion. Maybe they are a pharmaceutical company that is manufacturing and promoting the abortion pill. Maybe they own casinos and it's a company that a mutual fund that has casino companies in it. Maybe it's a company that has entertainment type companies that are profiting by or from the pornography industry and those kinds of things. So it's more, you know, so it's so mutual fund companies don't pay much attention to that. I mean, it's not what they do. They don't care about that. They're trying to put companies in their mutual fund that is going to be focused on having the best return for their client as possible, and not understanding or caring that these companies are, in fact, supporting through ownership of these companies these very things.
Well, okay, you are a financial advisor, an expert, and so forth. The average Christian, let's say, who, you know, wants to go ahead and invest money and you know, wow, more power to you if you invest some of your money in mutual funds. But how do we, learn which mutual funds, let's say, to avoid? And I don't want you to name any names here, but how do we do research, or, you know, how does one learn this?
Well, there are companies. There's only two, in my opinion, from my research. There's only two mutual fund companies out there that are biblically responsible, that have biblically responsible funds in them.
Really?
So,
that,
yeah.
That so, try and avoid this kind of stuff. Exactly. Do they make money? How do they do in the rate of return?
Oh yeah, they do great. They do great.
And okay, is one of them the Timothy plan?
One's Timothy.
And what's the other one?
Eventide.
Pardon me?
Eventide.
Eventide.
Yes, Eventide.
Okay,
yeah.
Now you, just to, by way of full disclosure, you have no vested interest in either of those companies or anything. You're just saying this as a financial expert. Okay, well, that's good.
That's correct. Yep. So now there are companies, for instance. So on my website, Jerry, I have a list of stocks that are my list that I track, that I do analytical work on.
Mm-hmm.
Then some of those stocks move to my buy list from time to time for people that are partners with me. They can use those. Vanguard, I have a Vanguard mutual fund on there that is one that is a biblically responsible.
Mm-hmm.
There's, as a matter of fact, Vanguard, I would say, has a few. So say Vanguard has, I don't even know, I mean, they have 30 stocks, they have more than that, 100 mutual funds. I know they've got six or seven out of that 100 that would be considered, by my standard, everybody's standards are a little different, biblically responsible.
Okay.
Now, and the other thing, Jerry, is too, there's a difference between biblically responsible and socially responsible. So there's other companies out there that are socially responsible, which are wonderful. They're involved in, they're making sure that they don't have companies that are polluting the earth. They make sure that they have companies, maybe they're conscious about animal rights, for instance, and so they're conscious about that, and they screen those companies out of their mutual funds. Maybe they are screening out tobacco. They're screening out alcohol. So they're screening out certain things that would classify them as socially conscious, and you know that's great. That they do that, but they may not be biblically responsible, though, because they may not be screening out some of the other things.
Yeah. Your website is financialissues.org. Some people, when it comes to just the bigger issue here of just how we spend our money and so forth, some people just have serious problems creating a budget or keeping it. Maybe they have a working type of budget, just making sure that they're not spending more than they take in, but they're not committing all these things to paper. Some, let's be honest, Dan, some are better at this than others.
Yeah.
What's your comment about budgeting?
Well, I think budgeting is very important, not because of the budget in and of itself. It's because developing a budget gives you an awareness of what you're spending and what you're, you know, how much you're spending. It gives people don't, until they sit down and do a budget, they're like, wow, you mean we're spending that much on our cable? Can't, what happened to all these packages? Can't we get something cheaper? You know, it generates an awareness of, you know, some things. You know, are your, just your groceries, and well, I had no idea. If you, you know, years ago when I first, I've been married 38 years, but if you'd have gone back to our first few years, I had no idea what we were spending on groceries. I didn't have a clue. I didn't know whether it was a lot or a little. Did we try to save? Was my wife using any kind of coupons? Were we doing anything? I think budgeting, the process is important because it gives you an awareness of what you're spending, how much you're spending on certain things. So I think that's the most important part of it. Now, obviously, if you develop a budget, you're going to do your best to try to live by it and live to it. I don't know that, you know, some people need to be really a slave of it because they know in their heart of hearts they're kind of irresponsible and they don't want to do anything outside the budget because that's keeping them responsible. But I also know a lot of people that have never had a budget, but they've always known that what they were spending and what they were bringing in, and they weren't going to go over that, but they never really budgeted. So I think it's just important that we have awareness of what we're spending. I think it's important that we have awareness of what we're bringing in and that we're doing what you said, Jerry, exactly, that we're not spending more than we bring in every month.
Yeah, there's some, by the way, there's some great wisdom from Ben Franklin, you know, going back 250 years or whatever, when he wrote that Poor Richard's Almanac, and he has all these nice aphorisms and so forth. But there were definitely some related to money, and, you know, the most famous one is probably a penny saved is a penny earned. But he talks about, you know, not spending more than you make, because if you do, then you're going to be in trouble. And, you know, think about this. Millions and millions of Americans today are not only spending more than they make, but they're in trouble with their credit cards, and they can't keep control of it. Maybe that's a good resolution to kind of close on, to wax eloquent on credit cards, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to really work hard to get out of debt, and we've got to work hard to stay out of debt. So number one, you know, use your bank ATM card as your credit card. Use it only as credit. Don't ever use it as an ATM for security reasons, as a debit card. But that money comes directly out of your checking account. That's the only kind of credit card we should use. Should we have a credit card? Sure. We might be on a missions trip somewhere or trip somewhere overseas where we have an emergency. We should have something in case of an emergency.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. I find that I get benefits from using the credit card at the end of the year, you know, like I can get some Christmas gifts in terms of just shopping, getting little cards, gift cards. Okay, so it's better for me to go ahead and use the credit card and always pay it off at the end of the month. I mean, never let a month go by and, you know, never let any of that accumulate. And so I'll get more benefits from that. That's nothing wrong with that, right? I think that's smart.
I do the same thing, Jerry. I have a mileage, airline mileage credit card.
Right.
And I use it. We use it for everything.
Yeah.
And I pay it off at the end of the month. But the reason why the credit card issue is such an issue, is because of discipline. You know, people aren't as disciplined as they should be. That's a great notion, what you just said. It's a great benefit. And I love it because credit card companies hate it when you do that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, they're not making anything.
So they don't like it when you pay it off at the end of the month. But you really have to. And okay, we're basically out of time.
Disciplined.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
If you're a disciplined person, do it, definitely.
Okay, 15 seconds, closing thought on tithing.
Well, listen, I think tithing's got to be one of your top priorities of your budget. We have to give. We have to give back. We have to give back to what we have been given. God tells us to give from our first fruits. And when we receive anything, it helps give us an understanding that it all does come from God. And as a result of that, I am giving back to His work.
Amen.
And that we are giving on a regular basis as a part of our daily routine. Extremely important. I've never met a faithful tither, a faithful giver, that was in financial trouble. Somebody that truly gave from their heart and truly was cheerful in that giving. I believe and we shouldn't be tithing for that reason. We should be tithing because I believe it's the most incredible act of worship that we can partake in.
All right, and what a great note to end on. Thank you so much for being with us. Dan Celia, C-E-L-I-A, financialissues.org for more information. Dan, thanks so much for being with us. God bless you.
Jerry, my joy. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.